Yeah. Hallelujah. Praise you, God. Praise you, God. Praise you, God. Hallelujah. Your name is great, Lord. Your name is great. Your name is great. Hallelujah. Greatly to be praised. Greatly to be praised. Father, we thank you so much this morning. What a joy it is to sing praises to your name. Amen. Your great name, your wonderful name, your glorious name. Yes, Lord. That name that has lifted us from the miry clay. Amen. Purchased our salvation. Amen. The name of Jesus above every other name. There's no other God that can claim what you have done, Jesus. Nobody else can come to that very place of salvation but you. Thank you that you've offered us salvation. But thank you, God. Here we are, people that received that salvation, took that free gift and received it, and it's changed our lives. It's made us a person, oh God, to follow after God. So I thank you this morning, Lord. We sing praises to your name. What a joy it is to live for that name, the glorious name. So as we just enter into now a place in our worship time of going to your word, we praise you, Lord. We praise you. God, be with us, strengthen us, show us, teach us. And Lord, I pray that you would meet every need in our midst this morning. God, meet every need. Pray especially for those who are going through some rough times. I think of Ruth and Bob. Think of Brandy this morning that is going for tests. God, there's so many in our midst, Lord, that are just going through things that we just present them to you. God, knowing that you can touch them. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your presence. Be with us now as we go to your word, and we praise you in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Welcome to church. I always like looking out at the family and seeing, there's a few people that aren't here this morning. And Eva, bless, good to see you. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Good to see you all. We've got a great family, haven't we? John, it's good to see you this morning. We prayed for you last week. You went up to the hospital. Was it by ambulance? Wow. What's it like in an ambulance? No fun, is it? No. But we're glad to see you this morning, John, and to be with us in the service. Amen. Good to see each and every one of you. Trust that you will be blessed. Trust that you're blessed already. And we're just going to kind of put icing on the cake now with the Word of God. Is that okay? And praise God. Well, I've got a few things that I kind of like. That I don't know about you. If you go on your computer and you see different things, there's some really things that are interesting. I saw this, and I would show you this because, you know, you look at that and you laugh, but that's the reality of life, isn't it? You know, we are so bombarded by garbage these days, you know, through all kinds of media, and I looked at that, and it's just kind of heaping up around this guy sitting at his computer, and I thought that was kind of neat to look at that, and so picture it, and they say a picture is worth 1,000 words, so just soak it in and take in what you're getting there. Amen. There you go. Wanted to get that out of our system too, okay? Hallelujah. Well, this Betty and I went down to the complex yesterday, and usually during the month of June, they have the Jehovah's Witnesses there each weekend where they go in and they do all their shops or seminars or whatever they do to kind of learn how to fool people and to lead people astray. And they don't know that, but we do. And they go through all those things. But I don't know, I went over and I didn't see the parking lot all filled. And it kind of took me by surprise. So I stopped as I went in the complex. And I read the sign that kind of goes with all the advertisements of the things that are happening. And they said Jehovah's Witness Watchtower will be here next weekend. And I thought, you know, is it only for one weekend now? Because there used to be 4 weekends. And it's kind of like I had a shout, praise the Lord, in my heart that, you know, if we've prayed enough to dwindle them down from 4 weekends to 1 weekend, something's working. Amen? And so I pray it stays that way. But yet they are persistent in what they do, aren't they? I would like to give you something this morning, a nugget, if I could, to have when someone comes calling at your door, who is either, and I was driving down the road the other day, and there was a vehicle in front of me, and they had all kinds of like decals and stuff all over the back of their vehicle. And it was kind of an SUV, and they had this circle on the back, and I thought it said animal inside. And I was kind of, you know, being an animal lover, dog keeper, I was driving along, and I thought, well, animal inside. And then I got closer at the next stoplight, and it said atheist inside. And so I felt like going up and knocking on the door and said, Christian, behind you, you know. But anyway, anybody hear that atheist that has something on their written on their car? If we're going to change your vehicle this morning and get and change the inside of your heart, amen. But I want to give you something today that you run into atheists, you run into agnostics, you run into people who are from cults, you run into people every day who are unbelievers. And so I really believe that I wanted to give you something today which would help you and us and reinforce those things in our life so that we can be challenged and be ready and prepared for those moments when we are accosted by somebody that comes to either our door or in our life. And as I in no way am against people like these, like the Jehovah's Witness, but we as Christians, we need to equip ourselves. We need to get ready with an overflowing love. I really believe that you're not going to win any Jehovah's Witness that comes to your door and you shake your hand and your fist in their face or anything like that. I really believe that with the love that we have for the Lord Jesus Christ will cover a multitude of sins. That's what the Word of God says. So I believe that you and I need to flow in love to be able to combat that which is around us. We are told many things of the last days. There will be false teachers. There will be false doctrines. There will be false things all around us, which only should remind us that there is truth to be had, because if somebody's trying to go against the truth, they will only come up with something that is not truth, which is false. So it only reminds us that the enemy is desperately trying to cover up the truth and to bring lies and heresy into the world around us. So we need to not only give truth to people like the JWs, but we also need to make sure that we're moving in love. And I say JWs, everybody understand that that means Jehovah's Witness. I always like to short form things because that's what they do at their Kingdom Hall, JW.org. I would recommend that you not go onto their webpage. I understand that sometimes we are in real predicaments of life. I've heard of people that have a brother, a sister, or a loved one that has gone over to the Jehovah's Witness and been in them for quite some years. And they pray and they pray and they pray and they ask God to deliver them from that. And it's not easy, is it? As we think of some family member or loved one or somebody that we've associated with has gone to a cult, you know, Jehovah's Witness, the Mormons, Hare Krishna, all these things that are out there that are all around us that lead people down the bad path of life. And so I think of that prodigal that Jesus shared, but the prodigal son, where his son no longer wanted to be with dad, no longer wanted to be in the household, no longer wanted to be under the authority of his father. And so he asked prematurely for the inheritance and said, give it to me so I can do what I want. That's my interpretation, and that's basically what he wanted to do. So he wanted to go out and have his fling in life and sow his wild oats and just do whatever he wanted to do in life. And the father, so much love in him. I love that story of what Jesus shared. So much love that he patiently did all that he did. Didn't scold his son and say, that's the last time you ever can come to this home. That's the last time I ever want to see you. Didn't say those things. Gave him the inheritance. And I'm sure that before his son left, he gave him a good embrace. And maybe even said the words, son, I'm always here. I'm always here. And then when that son came to his senses one day, we know the father saw him coming down the path. He ran for him and embraced him. And it was party time. It was party time because his son who was lost came home. And I really believe that if you have anybody who's lost in the Jehovah's Witness or any other cult that's around us, they've gone deep into it. Pray for them, pray for them. But show them the love when they start asking the questions to come back home. Start running towards them and embrace them as best you can. Because over the years, many have seen the error of the ways of the Jehovah's Witnesses and come out of that cult and seen the light and the truth in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what we have to pray for, is that they come out. That's a task before us, that anyone who is lost is deceived, and we have to give those seeds of truth into their heart and their life to bring them back to that place of truth. Amen? So before we get going, let's pray. Father, I pray for the Jehovah's Witness. I pray, Lord God, they are deceived people. They have twisted scriptures. They have seen the wrong identity of our Lord Jesus Christ. They do not comply with the one who is the Savior of this world. They look at alternatives and other directions. We pray this morning, Lord, that as we emphasize this service and we take this time to renegotiate our faith and to bring back our heart and our life where it should be, if somebody is doubting this morning, Lord, let this message bring them back to the place where they'll be strong in the faith, and when they're challenged over their faith, they will stand strong. So I praise you, Lord, for this morning's blessings upon our time together. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said? Amen. I'm sore from playing the bass guitar. That wooden guitar must weigh about 20 pounds. And when you're not used to having it on your shoulder, it just weighs down. You know. And then we were doing work around the house. How many of you use muscles that you haven't used for a while and they get sore? You know, Serge went up really fast. Is it? Oh, yeah. Just, yeah, get it going there. Praise the Lord more. Amen. Yes. Hallelujah. So in spite of all my soreness, let's get to the Word of God. Amen? You know, I started to think about, what do you talk about the subject of Jehovah's Witness? What scripture could I give you this morning that would start us off and get the ball rolling? Well, you know, I looked at it, and I really couldn't come up with no text in the Bible to say, you shall not follow the Jehovah's Witness down that garden lost path. Okay, so I couldn't find any. But I believe that there are so many scriptures in there that we could look at them, and we will look at quite a few of them here this morning. Just to let you know, if you want to find out anything about the background of the Jehovah's Witness, I would highly recommend this book here. Walter Martin, who wrote a beautiful book on a lot of the different religions, cults. In fact, it's called The Kingdom of the Cults, this book. It will help you if you can get a copy. Walter Martin has since gone to be with the Lord, but it's a very good book, and it takes you through all kinds of things in there that are wrong and false, things that are against Christianity and that distort Christianity, such as Mormons, Scientology, Eastern religion, Zen, the Jehovah's Witness, Ouija boards, witching. Anybody know what witching is? That's where you take that triangular stick and you go around looking for water in the ground. Oh, it must be water here. We have some things in the book against that, against horoscopes. I like that, horror scopes. Okay. Lottery tickets. Just kidding. It's not in the book, but I thought I would throw that in. Praise God. Just to recommend to you that if you got some extra money burning in your pocket, don't go out and buy a lottery ticket. Just bring it to me, and I'll find some good use for it, okay? Praise the Lord. So those things that are around us in our world, like that picture I showed you of all the garbage that is floating all around the world, and sometimes it comes in the likeness and guise of Christianity, and we have to watch for those things. Many Christians, when these things come their way, they don't know what to do. They don't know what to say or how to view these things. We need to be armed with the Word of God and very familiar with the Word of God, being able to refute and stand our ground in Christianity. I received a word the other day. I belong to the dictionary, Merriam-Webster's dictionary, and they sent me the word of the day. The other day I had this word come my way as F-L-U-M-M-O-X, flummox. And I don't know if anybody knows what that word flummox means, But it's an interesting word, and so they make you roll down the screen to find out what the definition is. And so the word flummox means to confuse. So when the Jehovah's Witness come to your door, say, "You're not going to flummox me." Okay? Interesting. I was reading Forensic Faith the next day when I got this word. And on the one page in there that James Werner has in his book, flummox was right there. I put a circle around it, highlighted it, and say, "See, I know you now." Yeah. It's kind of good to get to know words, isn't it? So when you read those books and somebody puts a big word in there, you don't know what it is. Now you know, flummox. And interesting, to confuse. Well, I do not want to go into any doctrine of the Jehovah's Witness. You can read about that in the Kingdom of the Cults, as it would only confuse perhaps people here. But let me say that the normality or the direction of cults or the opposition to the gospel usually is centered around the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where the conflict is their identity with the Lord Jesus Christ. They do not receive Jesus as the Savior of the world. Jesus, for us, is always the turning point when we talk to any cult around us. How do you believe in Jesus? That's where we need to stand. They call God Jehovah. They will not accept any other name. They go by the word, here's a big word for you, I don't know if you've ever heard or not, but it's called tetragrammaton. The Jewish people, back in the Old Testament, they were afraid to say the name God. They did not want to even utter that name because the name God was so holy. So they would even take the name, which in the Old Testament is Yahweh, and they would take the vowels out of it and just have YHWH. That's all they would have for fear of saying something that was not appropriate or right to God. So they would not even say his name. And so they, as the Jehovah's Witness, would take the name Yahweh or Jehovah as their instance, because the Hebrew started that way, and that's where the Bible goes. When it comes to the New Testament, they do not like the name Jesus Christ in there. They would like to go on and just change everything. And so when you get to the place of talking to Jehovah's Witness, you will find that they don't like to talk about the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me give you two well-known verses of which I think are very good to substantiate these things for you and I. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him," that's Jesus, "should not perish but have everlasting life." There's a good scripture of what we could give to the Jehovah's Witness. You have to believe in him. He's the only begotten Son. Or you go to John chapter 14, verse 6. Jesus said to him, that's Philip, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me." Jesus said that. Okay? So I like to take scriptures like that to the Jehovah's Witness. As in the case of the Jehovah's Witness, for instance, they distort many of the scriptures in the Word of God. Did you know that? That they change many of them in the Word of God. For instance, John chapter 1, verse 1. "In the beginning the Word was, and the Word was with God, and the Word was a God." How many know that that's not right? In the King James Version, New King James Version, it goes like this: "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Amen? So they interpret that as a God, so that any one of us here could be into that category of being gods. So that's how they view it, and that's how they take it. This is one of the many scripture references that they distort. And if we allow them to open their worldwide New World Translation of the Bible, you will hear verses of which will flummox you or confuse you, because you have heard them one way. You've heard them in King James or New King James, NIV, however you want to read it. They will read it to you from the New World Translation, and you'll hear that confusion coming across because they've distorted some of the words in those scripture references. Let us be reminded that they are cults, and they will distort the Word of God, and will usually do it for their sake of making it the way they feel it should be, and for their liking. That's not what we're supposed to do for the Word of God, is make it to, "Oh, I like it better like this. Let's just take this out and make it like this and put that in there and make it to our liking so we'll feel joy around the Word of God." I like it when the Word of God speaks to us. It kind of makes us cringe at times when we read the Word of God. Have you ever felt a cringe? Have you ever felt the prick in the heart when you read of the Word of God? Would you ever feel the sin that we have when God addresses something in our heart and our life? I like the Word of God just the way it is for you and I to read. Amen? So Jehovah's Witness do not like the name of Jesus, nor do they credit Jesus as being the Son of God. So they come back to the Old Testament and call God Jehovah, and that is where they stand. Here's some advice. Can I give you some advice this morning? This is for me. It's okay. I spoke one time to an elder of the Jehovah's Witness, and he was troubling one of the couples in our church in Havelock. This guy kept coming around the door. So I told the parishioner in our church, because they were fairly new Christians, they didn't really know how to address this Jehovah's Witness. They were hearing the flummox of all those confusing scriptures that they were bringing from the New World Translation. So I said, well, tell this person that keeps knocking on your door and very persistent, tell them that your pastor will be there next week and that your pastor would like to meet with this fellow from the Kingdom Hall. So he said, okay, I'll do that. And so the next week, he called me back, the parishioner from our church, and says, okay, I've got it all arranged, Pastor. He's coming next week, but he's bringing some elders from their church, the Kingdom Hall. I said, oh, good. We'll have a real good fight. Amen? We'll have a real good time. So anyway, there's three of them, two or three, I can't remember how many there were, on this day that we went out to our parishioner's place. We sat there. We talked all the, how's the weather and all that, and got past all those light things. Anyway, he said, you know, I was raised in the United Church of Canada. And I kind of perked up my ears. Oh, you were? I said, so was I. I was raised in the United Church of Canada. Isn't that great how we talked about Jesus? And so he says, as a matter of fact, I've still got my King James Bible from the United Church. I said, you do? And he says, I've got it with me in my briefcase. Oh, bring it out. So he brought it out. And I said, tell you what, I've got one here too. You use yours and I'll use mine. And we'll go through some scriptures here. Once I got him away from the New World Translation, we were on winning ground. As a matter of fact, we started going, and I was praying, Holy Spirit, show me, show me, show me. And I was going through some scriptures. They were just rolling from me, coming down, and I was giving them. And he looked at me, and he says, obviously, you know your Bible better than I. And the guy who was knocking on our parishioner's door, who was, I guess, one of the recruits, he looked at the elder with these eyes of, what? You know? And I was saying, you know, tell you what. Seeing as we in the Pentecostal church know the Bible better than you, I invite you to our church where you can learn the Word of God and know what the Word of God is. So, if you can take a Jehovah's Witness that comes to your door, here's your word of advice. Get them away from the New World Translation. And if you find out that that person was raised in a Christian organization, denomination, and if they still got their Bible with them, tell them to bring it out. And you sit down with your Bible and have them turn to those scriptures that you want to show them and lead them away. Amen? So today, let's discuss the main area, which is a help for you and I, and the area we should concentrate on should we have a Jehovah's Witness come to our door. So the title of my message is, here it is, Jehovah or Jesus or both? How's that? Jehovah, Jesus, or both? As I said, the pivotal point of all of our discussion with the Jehovah's Witness, or any cult really, is where they place their spiritual value on the Lord Jesus Christ. And we as Christians know Jesus is the core, he's the center, he's the heart, he's everything. He makes us tick. We asked him to come into our heart. Jesus, be Lord of my life. We've asked him to be our Savior. We want him to be our Savior. So he is everything to us. For the Jehovah's Witness, he is not so. We as Christians know that he's got to be everything, because without Jesus, we are nothing. Without Jesus, we are nothing. He is the one who presents us to the Father, and by the blood of Jesus Christ, we are made whole and able to come through the Father, through the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? See, Thomas inquired of how to get to the Father in John chapter 14, of which we had up there a few moments ago. Thomas said to Jesus, Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. Here's a fact. Any person or organization that devalues our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is moving in false doctrine. That's fact. Jesus must be Lord of our Bible and of our lives. Amen? I've found many things about the Jehovah's Witness, Betty, it was a few years ago when we were in Morrisburg as assistant pastor, took in a lady with her children. She was babysitting the children in a daycare in our home, and they were Jehovah's Witness. And so they do not celebrate birthdays. And so we found out when his birthday was, we secretly had a cake for him and a cupcake with a candle and all that. And the older boy, the two siblings that we were looking after, he says, don't tell my mommy that you had a birthday cake for my brother. And so we had to keep that from him because they do not believe in birthdays. They do not celebrate Christmas. They do not celebrate Easter. I wonder why. Anybody get a clue here why? Because they don't believe in Jesus Christ. They don't believe in his birth. They don't believe in his death. They don't believe in his resurrection. They don't believe anything about the Lord Jesus Christ. So no wonder. No birthdays. We don't want to even get to the place of birthday. You know why birthdays? Because every time you sign a check, whose date do you put on there? A.D. From the birth of Christ all the way down. They do not celebrate birthdays because they don't want to recognize that day of when Jesus came into this world. So that's why no birthdays, no Christmas, no Easter. The Watchtower teaches that Jesus is a God or a separate God, but not God himself. That's what they teach. More advice. Can I give you some more advice? First off, when you are talking with a Jehovah's Witness that comes to your door, or a cult, or any person, do not let them control the conversation. Whenever they come to my door, they are on my stoop, my door, my house, my conversation. I control the conversation. Why are you here? What do you believe? Here's what I believe. I will ask the questions. I will dictate to them. I will say things. And I will say, thank you very much for coming here to my house. I would like you to hear my testimony of how the Lord Jesus Christ saved me. And they're standing there, but I give Jesus to them because they're on my front stoop. Amen? So remember that. That's just a word of advice. You are in charge. They're at your house. Amen? So go ahead, ask them questions, tell them everything, and give them the love of Jesus. And another thing, just keep using the name of Jesus all the time. Say Jesus, oh, Jesus loves you, Jesus. That's Jesus' Bible, Jesus. You know, just keep saying the name Jesus, and they'll be walking away from your house hearing the name Jesus so very many times. See, I like many of the scriptures that we read, but in Matthew chapter 10, verse 16, remember when Jesus sent out the disciples two by two? Send them out. Here's some words of advice that he gave to them. Be as wise as serpents, but harmless as doves. Right? Wise as serpents, but harmless as doves. When Jesus saw that when the crowds could not trust him, even for himself when he went out as the Son of God, he needed to back up his claims as being the Son of God with some evidence. It's one thing to say, I'm the Son of God, but you need to have the evidence, right? So he needed to give the evidence. So that's why he did so many miracles. In fact, he told people the miracles were the verification of him being the Son of God. Read John chapter 10, verse 25. I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me, said Jesus. Jesus warned of anyone who would not believe that the miracles were evidence of him being the Christ. If you were to go to Luke chapter 2:10, you would find this, and I'll read from the New Living Translation. And this is what Jesus said to those unbelievers around him. What sorrow awaits you, Chorazin and Bethsaida? For if the miracles I did in in you had not been done in wicked Tyre and Sidon, their people would have repented of their sins long ago, showing their remorse. Yes, Tyre and Sidon will be better off on judgment day than you. And you people of Capernaum, will you be honored in heaven? No, you will go down to the place of the dead. Then he said to the disciples, anyone who accepts your message is also accepting me. And anyone who rejects you is rejecting me. And anyone who rejects me is rejecting God who sent me. Pretty clear, isn't it, when you get to that? You know, it's said when you think about the miracles that Jesus did, that there's 37 recorded miracles that Jesus did in the Gospels. 22 are recorded in Matthew, 20 in the book of Mark, 21 in Luke, and 8 in John. And John also stated, and I like the way he finishes his gospel message, if you were to go to John chapter 20, verse 30, he says, and truly, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. Sounds pretty clear to me. So those are scriptures that you can give Jehovah's Witness. When you start talking about Jesus to a Jehovah's Witness, they and many other cults will really come back with a cliche. Did you know that they don't really have church services per se? They have meetings of how to influence people. What if they say this, what will you say? They go through meetings of all this conduct of their conversations with somebody. They have no depth of the Word of God. You will find if you can get a Jehovah's Witness into the Word of God, and they seem to pride themselves over how well they know the Word of God. Well, I want to let you know that they are more up on what to say to you than they are about what the Word of God has to say to them. So take the Word of God to them. But they will come back with a statement like this. Did Jesus ever really say he was God? They will try to make you squirm and get confused, and they will say, did Jesus ever really say he was God? Well, here's a statement of Jesus that really upset his listeners. You'll find this in John chapter 10, verse 33. Jesus said, I and the Father are one. In fact, the Jews were ready to kill him right there. Why? Because they said, a mere man claiming to be God. Interesting. So, stay focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Can I give you that today? Jesus did claim to be God, and he did it so wonderfully, and I love the way the scriptures speak about this. Jesus presented himself as the Son of God in so many ways that you cannot miss this, and the Jehovah's Witnesses are missing this, and many cults are missing this, but Jesus Christ presented it so simply and so clearly that he was the Son of God. So are you ready? Here's the first thing that Jesus showed, that where he came from. Jesus showed he was God where he came from. Amen? When Jesus was asked about where he came from, he said, it is the same place where his Father abides. Remember in John chapter 6, when that great chapter where he talks about the manna from the Old Testament, and Jesus is the bread of heaven come down from heaven? Isn't that beautiful? Go through John chapter 6 when you get home today. It's really beautiful. And I encourage you to take some of these scripture references, write them down, and use them for Jehovah's Witness. See, the Jews struggled with where Jesus came from. And that's what the Jehovah's Witnesses are struggling with as well. They don't believe that Jesus came from God. They don't believe him, the Son of God. So the Jews did that same struggle. If you were to go to John chapter 6, verse 42, they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then he says, I have come down from heaven? You see their struggle? They were struggling with what Jesus had to say about how he came down from heaven. Here's a statement of Jesus about where he came from. John chapter 8, verse 23. He said, you are from beneath, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. Therefore, I said to you that you will die in your sins, for if you do not believe that I am he, then you will die in your sins. Wow, he really laid it on the line, didn't he there? later on, on this is what he said to Pontius Pilate. And I like that very presentation where Jesus stood before Pontius Pilate. But John chapter 18, verse 36 says, Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not an earthly kingdom. If it were, my followers would fight to keep me from being handed over to the Jewish leaders. But my kingdom is not of this world." Pilate said, "So you are a king." Jesus responded, "You say I'm a king. Actually, I was born to come into this world to testify to the truth. All who love the truth recognize that what I say is true." I like that. What he says is true. So, Jesus proved his origin, and I'm just giving you a few scriptures here. I'm just laying some things out. You need to go home and study the Word of God, okay? You'll find out that Jesus talked a lot about where he came from. And so write down those scriptures whenever you find them, because this is one thing that the Jews struggled with. This is one thing that Jehovah's Witness struggled with, and every cult and every unbeliever is Jesus really God? Did he come from heaven? All these things. Write down the scriptures, and you'll find these things to be true. Another thing here about Jesus. Jesus stated his equality with God the Father. This is a powerful statement, a powerful recognition of who Jesus is. Jesus would not be able to say many of the things he said unless he were equal to the Father. We would have to throw out all of our scriptures, throw out all the gospels. We would not be able to believe them anymore if he were not equal to the Father, but he is equal with the Father. Matthew chapter 13, verse 41. "The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and those who practice lawlessness." In other words, Jesus said, guess what? The angels are in control of the Father and of me. I will send out the angels. There's only one person that can control angels. Amen? The Father has control of the angels, and Jesus has control over the angels as well. Luke chapter 12, verse 8 and 9, "Also I say to you, whoever confesses me before men, him, the Son of Man, also will confess before the angels of God." Sounds pretty convincing to me. He's got the equality of God. "But he who denies me before men will be denied before the angels of God," says Jesus. To claim that God's angels were in fact his angels would be a terrible thing to say unless Jesus really is the Son of God, both part of the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Jesus made all kinds of statements about his relationship with God the Father. Go to John chapter 17, that great priestly prayer of Jesus talking to the Father. Go there sometime and read it, John chapter 17. It's beautiful. But he made all these statements and that would be very difficult for his listeners to grasp unless Jesus himself were equal to God the Father. Like a statement that we read in John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus said to Thomas, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also, and from now on you know him and have seen him." Philip said to Jesus, "Lord, show us the Father, and it will be sufficient for us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me? Philip, he who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, 'Show us the Father'?" Sounds pretty clear to me that there's an equality of Jesus, the Son of God, along with the Father. Many more statements of this truth can be found, so you do them on your own study, okay? Because Jesus and the Father are very equal. I'm just giving you some nuggets this morning, okay? Could you do that? Go home and study. How many want to go home and study right away? Hurry, Pastor. Close the church down quick. I want to go home and study. Amen? Good. I'm glad to see you all want to do that. Another thing Jesus brought to light is divine position before he made any statements about who he was as a Son of God. Let me give you this in a little bit more understanding. Recall when Jesus stood before his disciples, just the disciples, and he asked them, he said, "I just want to ask you guys an important question. Who are people out there saying about me? What are they saying?" And he started listening to what they had to say. Well, they came back and they said, "Well, some said you're John the Baptist. Some said, well, you are Elijah. Others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." Notice that they were in the category of prophets. That's where the people of the communities were putting Jesus. not the Son of God. He was one of the prophets. But when Jesus began his teaching, he separated himself from all other prophets. Did you notice that when you read the Word of God? He separated himself from all the other prophets or religious leaders. If you were to go back into the Old Testament and you were to read any of the prophet books, any of the major or minor prophets, you would find that they would address, a lot of times when they were speaking on behalf of God, they would say, "Thus says the Lord," right? Or "God is saying to us." They would say those things, and it would be brought out that because they're a prophet, they're standing in that place, that gap, they're bringing the voice, the Word of God to the people. And so they would say, "Here's what God says. This is what God is saying." Or as the King James Version says, "Thus saith the Lord." Okay? So we have all those things. So they would go through those things. So they said it in this way because they were really speaking for God. Jesus, being God, equal with the Father, now understand this, you would expect him to say, how about this? "Verily, verily, I say unto you." That's the King James Version. Or how about, "I tell you the truth." I like that. Matthew chapter 5, verse 18, he said, "For surely I say to you." Matthew chapter 11, verse 11, "Assuredly, I say to you." Mark chapter 11, verse 23, "For assuredly, I say to you." Which proves that he is not just another prophet. He's not just another person from the Old Testament resurrected or John the Baptist come back to life. But he is the one who comes to give the truth direct from heaven, from the Father, to us. Amen? How many times did Jesus say in the Sermon on the Mount, "But I say unto you"? I like what it says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 17. "Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill." Wow. You have heard it said, but I say unto you. You have heard it said, but I say unto you. How many times is that in the Sermon on the Mount? As a matter of fact, in just a couple of weeks' time, I've been praying and asking God over the summer months, what should we take as a direction here in the church? And God has directed me towards the Beatitudes. Is that okay? I find the Beatitudes, as I read them and I've been studying them and looking at them, there is something important in there that Jesus is saying. It's the beginning of his teaching. It's the stuff that's bringing the people into his very heart. It's the people that things that Jesus is speaking into the heart of people because they need to change. Blessed is the man. Blessed are you. Blessed, 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 blessed. And he starts laying out all these things. So get ready in just a couple of weeks. I know that Daniel and Myra will be with us next week, but the week after, I'm going to be starting in the Beatitudes. So get ready because maybe God will be speaking to us about some of our attitudes. Okay? Get ready for that. Only God could speak like this to his creation, "But I say unto you." And it was this kind of communication that really disrupted the Jewish people back in those days when Jesus came out and said, "But I say unto you." Man, who is this guy? Blaspheming, saying he's in relation with God, saying he's the Son of God, saying he come down from heaven, saying all these things. It really rocked their boat. And it will really rock the Jehovah's Witness boat if they ever get into the truth of the Word of God. Amen? Another thing is that Jesus spoke about his divine power. He had power. Did you know that Jesus had power? Speaking to non-believers, Jesus made this argument that his miracles alone should have been enough to convince them that he was the Son of God. You go over to John chapter 10, verse 25. Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you do not believe because you are not of my sheep, as I said to you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." Sounds like a pretty convincing powerhouse to me. Nobody's ever able to take them from me. Not even the devil. Amen? Nobody. You know, the devil can't steal your salvation. You can only forfeit it or give it up or say, "No longer do I want it." You are in control of that salvation because Jesus gave you that control. He's a gentleman. He's allowed you to receive that free gift. It's a gift. If you want to separate yourself from that gift, you can. I want to walk in the gift. I want to walk. I want to work out my salvation every day with fear and trembling. I want to walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. So keep that, hold that gift. Amen. See, as Jesus spoke these words, like he said in John chapter 10, they knew, all these Jewish people, they knew that Jesus was claiming to be God. And it says that they even wanted to stone him for claiming to be God. That was their opinion of that he was moving in blasphemy. That was their interpretation of who Jesus was. And it says in John chapter 10, just a few verses later, that then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, "Many good works I have shown you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me?" The Jews answered him, saying, "For a good work we do not stone you, but for blasphemy, because you, being a man, make yourself God." That's why they wanted to stone him. They couldn't receive the information that Jesus was giving him. And one portion of Scripture that shook them all back then is John chapter 8. "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day." This is priceless when Jesus spoke this to the Jewish leaders. "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." Then the Jews said to him, "You are not yet 50 years old, and you have seen Abraham?" Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you," there's that "I" again, "I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." Wow. That rocked their boat. "Before Abraham was, I am." Then they took up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. See, as I read that scripture, Jesus made two claims here in what he just said that shook the people. Number one, Jesus claimed that he was eternal. Right? Jesus claimed he was eternal. Second thing, Jesus also said he existed before Abraham, and so he identified with God in the Old Testament before Abraham was, "I am." There's just a few things that we read in our Bibles about the Lord Jesus Christ that make it very, very clear that Jesus did claim to be God. And I like, as you start going through the New Testament, all those followers of Jesus Christ, you know, when they heard Jesus and all his claims and all the power and all the divinity and his equality with God the Father and his position that he came down from heaven, they listened to all those things. And from Acts all the way down, that's the gospel message that, all about Jesus. If you read all those New Testament writers from all those Acts all the way down, you'll find that they said this. Paul said, "Christ is the visible image of the invisible God." He said that. John said, "He existed in the beginning with God." 1 John chapter 1. Peter said, "You must worship Christ as Lord of your life." Something else about Jesus, he said he could forgive sins. Isn't that wonderful? That really floored their boat. Mark chapter 2, some of the scribes were sitting there. Remember the man who was in the temple that was lame? Some of the scribes were sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, "Why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" But immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned thus within themselves, he said to them, "Why do you reason about these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven you,' or to say, 'Arise, take up your bed and walk'? What do you want me to say? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins." That you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. Wow. Are you getting the picture? I mean, these are the things that the Jehovah's Witness will not understand. These are things that the Jewish leaders did not comprehend, could not understand. This is the world that you and I are dealing with of all these things around us. You see, religious leaders grumbled because they could not accept the divinity and the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. They saw him only as a carpenter, the son of Joseph and Mary from Nazareth. They refused to believe that Jesus was God's son, and they could not tolerate his message. It seems like the Jehovah's Witness cannot tolerate the message of Jesus as the one and only true begotten Son of God, Savior of the world, Redeemer of all mankind, who holds the keys of life and death. They cannot take that. See, I look at Jehovah's Witness and I look at them and I pray for them, but I believe that they're on shaky ground. They have taken the Word of God and made it to their liking. I'm reminded of Revelations chapter 22, some of the last words of our Bible. Go to that last chapter of Revelations, and this is what it says, "For I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book." Powerful book. Don't distort it. Don't take it out of context. Read it, study it, find out about it, and know it, and know it, know it. So as I look at all that they are doing and we see all the stuff around us in our day and age, what kind of ground are we on today? Do we believe the Lord Jesus Christ to be the Son of God? That's got to be the core of our heart and our life. Or have we listened to lies and cults or been misinformed and misguided by people who do not really know the truth anyway? Many tell us that all roads lead to God. And that's correct. Right? Do you believe me? All roads lead to God. But only one road leads to heaven. Only one road. See, I believe that all roads lead to God because it says in the Word of God, for it is written, "As I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess to God." In other words, all roads lead to God. Doesn't matter what cult, culture, what background you have. Doesn't matter. Every road will lead to God. Philippians chapter 2, verse 9 says, "Therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee should bow, every tongue will confess of those in heaven and of those on earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father." Amen? So all roads lead to God, but only one road leads to heaven. Revelations chapter 1, verse 7, "Behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye shall see him." People who say, "I don't believe in God." People say, "Well, let's take the Bible the other way and cut out that stuff and do it this way." Every eye will see him. Every eye will see Jesus one day. The sad part of it is, and even they who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. That will be a sad, sad day. So, three steps to victory. Paul gave us this. Number one, fight the good fight. Number two, don't give up. Finish the race. Number three, keep the faith. Hallelujah. Would the worship team come, please? Hallelujah. I pray this morning that I've given you a little something to hold on to encourage you. And if the Jehovah's Witnesses are only here for one weekend, you've got one shot at them. Amen? One shot. And when they come in here, they come in from Quebec, they come in from all around Ontario, and they send each other. Some of the people that are Jehovah's Witness in our town, sometimes they're a little ashamed of going to other people's doors. Sometimes they know that there's a pastor in behind that one door, so they're a little afraid. So they send out people from Quebec to come to our door. That way they don't have to get embarrassed and have some new people come to our door. They want somebody new anyway to come to your door. So I pray this morning that I've given you a little something to encourage your faith, to encourage your heart, to encourage you around non-believers that work around you or around you, your loved ones, cults. Maybe you've got somebody lost in a cult this morning, somebody lost in something that they are just brainwashed by, and you've got the washing of the brains, though. Amen? They're brainwashed, but you've had your brains washed. Right? Hallelujah. Everything's washed. We're clean. Hallelujah. Would you stand with me this morning? Hallelujah. Father, I pray this morning if somebody here is struggling in the faith of God, I pray this morning that I've given them something to encourage them about who Jesus is. Mighty Savior, glorious God. We cannot belittle you or bring you down to our level. You are the Savior of this world. Your name is Jesus, a name higher than any other, a name that we claim victory in. A name that when we as Christians, we end with in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, as we conclude our prayers, because we know there's power in that name. So we thank you today, Lord. I pray for an encouragement upon the body of Christ today, that we don't need to be discouraged because somebody comes to our door and they seem to be more well-versed than us. God, help us to stand our ground. Help us to keep the faith. And to pray the Spirit of God will lead us to say the right things. But most of all, Lord, let us be clothed in your love, Lord, that we can show them the pathway to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because, Jesus, you showed us the ultimate love in this whole wide world, that you loved us so very much that you laid down your life for us. No greater love is this than if somebody would lay down his life for his friends. And, Jesus, you laid down your life for us. God, thank you for that friendship that we have with you. Wow, what a blessed Savior we have, the Lord Jesus Christ. So I pray encouragement upon the body. I pray strength on the body. I pray a walk into the body of the Lord Jesus Christ to be stronger than ever before, to take some of these scripture references and even go deeper themselves in some of these references, Lord, to find out the depth of the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So God, thank you this morning. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. How's that for a good conclusion to a prayer? Amen. In Jesus' name, amen. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. So which one?
Rock of Ages.
Rock of Ages, hallelujah. I like that. How many know he's the Rock of Ages? Hallelujah.
No rock, there is no God like our God. No other name worthy of all our praise.
All our praise.
The Rock of Salvation that cannot be moved. He's proven himself to be faithful and true. There is no rock, there is no God like God. Salvation that cannot be moved. He's proven himself to be faithful and true.
There's no rock.
There is no God like God.
Hallelujah.
Rock of Ages. Jesus is the rock. Rock of Ages. Jesus is the rock. Rock of Ages. Jesus is the rock.
that clear enough? There is no rock like our God. Amen. His name is Jesus.
Amen.
Father, thank you so much for sending your son, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that you came, saved the world through your blood, wanting to save every last person. God, all we have to do now as a church is to present that truth to them so they will know the way of salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ. So help us in our walk. Help us in our faith. Help us in our talk. Help us in our going. Help us in our doing, Lord God, because we want to see people one to Jesus. Thank you, God. Go with us now to that very mission field, Lord. Be with us. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. 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 God bless you.